Welcome to Ballyhoo Fiber Emporium, a podcast for fiber producers and artists. I am your host, as always, Madeline Rosenberg, and today I'm going to share with you a tremendous new artist that I've found. She is a needle felter. Her name is Dani, and her company is Good Natured Art. You can find her at Be Good Natured on Instagram, and I highly suggest you go and check that out before you listen to the interview, but definitely after. Dani is delightful in every possible conceivable way and absolutely brilliant at what she does.
Thank you for being willing and able to do this.
Of course.
I had to talk myself into asking you because your work is amazing. You're ridiculous.
Thank you. I'm called ridiculous on numerous occasions, and I find it quite funny.
Do you have any art background?
Not officially, no. No, so I have a biology background. But I've taken no official training or anything in art.
And you just woke up one day and said, I'm going to be the best needle felter ever.
Yes, no. No, I completely fell into needle felting by accident. It's a strange story.
Please share.
So, yeah, right. I was working at my previous job, which was at a zoo. I was an educator at a zoo because since I was little, I had always wanted to work with animals. And of course, I wanted to be a veterinarian. And then into college, I kind of decided that that was not for me. But I fell into this zoo education, kind of conservation education career, and it was perfect. But I was always doing art stuff kind of on the side. Like I took some pottery classes at a local art museum. And I kind of felt like that part of me was missing. I just kind of dabbled in stuff here and there that I had heard about. And I had this incredibly crafty coworker. And she was always talking about things I had never heard about. And she was the one who would come up with all these cute little handmade crafts that the kids would do in our classes. And she mentioned needle felting one day and said, you know, you can make these really cute little animal figurines with it. I had never heard of it, looked it up. I found some like supply kits on Etsy, you know, little boxes mm-hmm. of different colors of wool and all the stuff you needed. Ordered one and I was hooked. I made all the cute little animal figurines to start off with. I think my very first one was an owl.
Aww.
Yeah. You know, easy, nice, simple shape. Mm-hmm. And then just kind of went from there and expanded into things like pin cushions and jewelry. And then one year I was doing a 52 weeks project. I was going to come up with a new design every week. And I stumbled across a two-dimensional needle felted piece that kind of looked like a painting. And I thought, well, that's different. So I'm going to try that. And then I kind of got hooked from there on moving from three-dimensional to two-dimensional and then have just kind of developed my style in that over the course of, gosh, I think almost 3 years now I've kind of been doing the two-dimensional stuff.
Only 3 years?
I think so. That seems right. I really have to go back and think about it. I did take an art class in high school, and I kind of think, you know, my like science background contributes to this, but I always like to make things as real as possible. Mm-hmm. And so it just kind of started from that one 52 weeks project and just kind of like, how real can I get this?
Wow. Super real.
Thank you.
Super real. I mean, that dash and with his little paws up on the edge, that's...
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Yeah. He's bursting out of the little embroidery hoop.
Good photo references are always a plus for those, too.
But the detail you get is just incredible.
Thank you. It can be a little frustrating sometimes, and I definitely am hard on my supplies, I think, when I try to cram all those details in there, but it's worth it.
Do you have a preferred breed or breeds?
You know, I don't really have preferred breeds. It's more the preparation of the wool. Mm-hmm. I use mostly wool bats and batting mm-hmm. rather than roving. So just as long as it's not incredibly fine, not too soft, and as long as it's kind of short fibers, then it's really easy for me to work with because I do a whole lot of blending, little bits of hand blending pretty much constantly while I'm working on these. So that way it's easier for me to manipulate the fibers and then just kind of blend them in and make kind of a more seamless transition for the colors.
Are most of your works the same size? Your portrait series is 8 inches?
Yeah. The one I'm working on right now, yeah, they're all 8-inch hoops. And those are the largest ones that I've done for portraits. I do offer a smaller 6-inch hoop. And before, pretty recently, I was offering even a 3-inch hoop. But I'm finding those now are a little more tedious, yes, because they're tiny, but I'm not happy with the results so much anymore. Mm-hmm. I think because I'm used to working on these larger scales and I can get more detail in the larger ones that I can't get in the smaller ones. So I'm kind of moving away from those.
The amount of detail you pack in, I mean, just to 8 inches is astounding.
Thank you.
So you said that your science background probably helps with your arts.
Definitely.
I mean, you do a lot of animal portraiture. So do you think that it's because you've had your hands on so many animals and it's easier to do something tactile like art having had that tactile experience?
I think so. And, you know, just being around the animals and being able to experience them and their personalities and all of that, I kind of draw on that for inspiration. And I have, of course, millions, not really, but tons of photos from, you know, working at the zoo. And so it's always nice to look back on those and use those for reference and for details. I feel like such a nerd when I talk about like blending my science past with my art, but that's what it is for me. It's a blend, and I feel like it served me pretty well.
Well, this is the place to nerd out about it.
Yeah, definitely. We are in Arkansas right now. I actually grew up in Arkansas and moved away not too far into Missouri for 10 years or so. We went to college up there and stayed there for a little while. Where we're living right now is in Northwest Arkansas, and it's beautiful. There's trails galore and state parks, and there's so much hiking and camping to do. We really like it here, but we imagine ourselves kind of moving place to place in the not too distant future. So,
and it's great that you can take your work with you everywhere you go.
Definitely. I have quite a large supply of wool right now that I need to use before I can become a little more mobile. But it's hard to use that much wool in all of these tiny portraits and things because I don't use very much.
Do you source locally?
No, I get most of my supplies online just because I want the consistency. We're actually fairly new to this area, so I'm not too familiar with any local farms or anything like that just yet.
Festival season is coming up.
That's true. It is.
Get out and meet the neighbors.
Yep.
You want to talk about your workshop series first or your show?
We'll talk about the show first.
Okay. You have an upcoming show, which is why you've been working on all these portraits.
Yes. I have been invited to show my pet portraits at the Historic Arkansas Museum, which is down in Little Rock. I know they feature a lot of Arkansas artists. I was thrilled when they asked me. So in May, I believe the opening date is May 12th. My goal is to have 30 or more, but definitely 30 portraits done to show off. So yeah, I've been working on those. I will probably be working right up into the date to try to get those done. I went through kind of a weird working period with portraits. They were taking me a long time, and then I got more efficient, so they took me less time, but now they're taking me longer again. On average, a portrait takes me about 3 days, but that's not consistent working time because I do have to take breaks and I have to step away from them and I had to give my poor little hand a rest.
Oh yeah, definitely.
I know when my muscles start to feel fatigued that if I keep going, I'm going to regret it for probably about 2 days.
Do you do it all with single needle?
No, most of the time I'm actually holding two needles at once. Two single needles together instead of in a holder. Mm-hmm. I move to single needles when I need to work with a few strands of fibers, but a lot of times I'm using two needles at once, which helps, of course. I'm really excited to showcase animal portraits, and they're not just other people's pet portraits. They include some of my pet portraits. I have yet to actually make portraits of my own pets, and so I've got my cat, Kitty, who we no longer have, but she's now memorialized in a pet portrait. And then I plan on including some animals that are meaningful to me, animals that I worked with at the zoo. And so the very first portrait that I made for this exhibit is Elvis the Quaker Parrot. He's an animal that I worked with at the zoo. We became good friends. So hopefully I can go visit him again soon. We're not too far away from where we used to live. It's nice to have a little piece of him around too.
I love too that your portraits aren't just right. Like your cat is moving forward through the frame and the one dog is propped up. You said he was on the edge of a truck. There's beautiful motion and life as well. It's not just a still portrait.
Thank you. Yeah, I've been moving towards that a little bit. It's nice when pet people give me their beautiful photos to work from, first of all. It's really fun to kind of capture the personality and the movement and the lighting and all of that from the original photo. Because, you know, you want it to feel as real as possible and you want to remember the animal in that moment. And so I try to bring as much as that as I can.
Your biology background definitely helps as far as posing, musculature, etc.
Yeah, it does, surprisingly. Yeah, it is really helpful.
So how long is your show running?
It's running through the first week in August, so it'll be there most of the summer.
Are your pieces for sale that are in the show?
Most of the pieces will have already been commissioned. I will probably have, if I can work in some pieces of animals that I've worked with at the zoo, those will likely be for sale.
Except for Elvis.
Except for Elvis, yeah. He's staying with me.
When you get commissions, do you ever have people ask if they can send fiber along with it?
You know, I have had that question posed to me a few times, and more so when I was actually doing 3D portraits.
Uh-huh.
I've never done it, and it's not something that I really want to pursue. You know, I know people love their pet, but I don't know, it's just kind of a strange...
For the most part, cat and dog hair doesn't really felt well.
Exactly. That is true. We have a long-haired cat. He has super fine, soft gray hair.
Mine too.
Actually does felt really well. It was my husband handing me a clump of hair and said, see what you can do with this. I just made it into a ball. It didn't become anything. But I was curious to see how well it worked. I have had folks do things with their portrait after the fact, and so I'll ship them their pieces, and I've seen people slide in like whiskers and stuff that they've saved.
That's cute. Did you start out working on linen backgrounds?
I've always used wool felt,
mm-hmm.
and I've just recently started using linen, maybe a little less than a year ago, and I really, really love it. I found a shop on Etsy who sells linen by the yard, and also she makes other products with her linen, pillow covers and things like that. Her linen it's beautiful, and it's so soft and pretty. I was really surprised with how much I liked using it because I didn't think that the fibers were going to stay in place very well. You know, because the wool felt as a background, you can at least count on those fibers
right. Latching
on to, you know, the fibers that you're felting in. But linen, the wool just kind of slides in between the weave,
mm-hmm.
but it stays. And, you know, it's probably partially it works really well and I really like it. And it kind of gives a little more of a luxurious feel to the pet portrait.
Have you ever used Aida cloth?
No, I haven't.
I was just thinking, I don't know. I mean, you can get some pretty fine Aida cloth, but I don't know if it would be too open of a weave.
Well, you know, I've felt it on burlap and it works just fine. You just can't be super detailed along the edges because mm-hmm. there's to attach to.
Right.
But as long as that's not a problem, then it actually works really well. I like it. I mean, I feel like you can felt on most anything as long as your needle and your fibers are going to go through it. You know, in my opinion, just experiment. Give it a try and see what happens.
Which brings us to a series of workshops, and they're self-guided on how to felt.
Yeah, so I have an online class called Felt With Me, and there's previews and lots of information at feltwithme.com. And it is a project-based course, and it's all self-paced. So there are three main projects to work on. It's all video tutorial, plus some PDFs and things in there to kind of help guide you, and some photos of finished products. I've had a huge amount of people enjoy success with that course, and I'm seeing them go on to create some really cool felt paintings. It's a really fun thing to put together and to work with other people. And I've got another course that I'm working on right now, which are going to be three-dimensional potted cacti. They're something that I used to make before I started doing all the two-dimensional stuff. I just thought, you know, why not? I'm not making them anymore, and they're so fun to make, and people love their cacti, so why not share with everybody how to make those?
That's perfect for people like my mom who aren't really great with houseplants.
Right.
I made this and it will never die.
Exactly. You just got to keep it away from your pets.
Yeah, right.
Exactly.
Do you do other types of felting as well?
Right now, I'm mainly focused on the two-dimensional needle felting. I used to do a little bit of wet felting. I still teach wet felting occasionally, and it's all landscape work, so it's still all wall art. I've done some vessels and things like that, and I enjoy it. I enjoy wet felting, but I just don't make time for it really much anymore.
Uh-huh.
Other than preparing tutorials and things for courses, I haven't really done any three-dimensional felting lately either.
And do you teach at your home, or do you teach at fiber festivals? Or
I usually am in search of small shops or you know, other artists in the area that might have like a venue or a location where we can gather.
And do you travel for that? I know you love to travel.
Yeah. Actually, last year I did a fun felting tour across the South. We went through Tennessee and the Carolinas, Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi, and Arkansas. And that was 3 weeks of traveling and teaching. So it was kind of a, you know, vacation slash workcation.
Right.
We built some time to explore. So that was a lot of fun. I'm hoping to do some more different cities, hit some new places soon. I'm looking at Oklahoma and Texas soon. Actually, I'm in talk with a group down in Brazil. They've invited me to come down and teach. Nothing has been confirmed just yet. Hopefully we can get something worked out soon.
That's really cool.
That's a nice bonus too.
Yeah. So you're making little felted objects on the side while you're doing conservation and teaching at the zoo. How did this explode for you?
It exploded when I started offering pet portraits.
Uh-huh.
I started doing that. I started selling out of those immediately. I was pre-booking months in advance, and I couldn't keep up. So what happened was we were up in Missouri. Things just kind of took off with my side business, and we thought we would move down to a family farm in Arkansas. So we were there for a little over a year. We were actually living in a little apartment in a barn. So we were in like these converted horse stalls. It was like 700 square feet, and you know, just across the barn hallway were our 20 chickens, and 100 yards the other way were the field of cows. That was a nice change for us. We both quit our jobs, and I took on the felting full time, and just still kind of kept up with the commissions,
mm-hmm.
kept booking pet portraits, and that's definitely what is the most popular. I also build in time to kind of make things for myself just to enjoy, and I love felting other animals and things too, but I also have developed a love of toadstools.
Mm-hmm.
I do a lot of toadstool pieces that, I don't know, it just kind of, I guess it surprised me how much I enjoyed making them, enjoyed finding them and then making them. It took off when pet portraits started to be an option for me, when I felt comfortable and proficient enough in my skills to offer that.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's just kept up ever since.
What's your favorite part of your journey to date?
At this point, it still feels surreal to kind of call myself a full-time artist. And I don't know if this was internal or external or probably both, but it felt like going from a full-time job with benefits and security to this crazy kind of up in the air lifestyle a little bit was, it felt like there was a lot of resistance
mm-hmm.
to that. So now having, you know, been successful and, you know, just kind of making things happen and being invited to show in exhibits and stuff like that, and being able to say with confidence that I'm an artist and that I'm a full-time artist has been the most rewarding.
Mm-hmm.
And also just kind of jumping into that community and meeting other artists and collaborating and being able to support other people and other artists in their journeys as well has been amazing and probably the most fulfilling.
You're like the fiber world's it girl.
I don't really feel that way.
I mean, you're gorgeous, you're sickly talented, you're well-spoken, you're able to not only share your art, but affect the growth of art in other people.
That is incredibly kind of you to say. Thank you. Thank you so much.
And then no. I looked at your website and I was like, wait, you've only been doing this 3 years? What?
I know the feeling that you're feeling, because I feel that way with other people too. And it's, I don't know, like, I don't.
Why is it so hard?
I know.
We're all so supportive, but we're all so scared to talk to each other.
Isn't that silly? But then it's so great once you reach out and, you know, you realize that we're all just humans.
It's like that little fangirl, you know? Rush every time you talk to somebody new, like, oh, they like me.
Of course. I love being part of this community, and I will help out in any way I can, you know? So it's just
Is there nice. Anything on the horizon for other fiber arts, or are you pretty committed to felting?
I think for now, I'm pretty committed to felting. You know, as far as other arts, not fiber art, I've grown a lot since working on a sketchbook project last year.
Yes, I love your sketchbook.
Thank you. That whole project it blew up like crazy. It was not planned. It was completely out of the blue, but I'm so happy I did it. And I grew immensely during that project. And so I'm hoping to just kind of expand on the skills that I gained during last year working on that project. And I'm hoping just to kind of dive into some new mediums. I really, really want to try oil paints. I've never painted with oil paints. So I really want to try that out. I definitely had never painted with acrylics, and turns out I love painting with acrylics. So that was fun. It was a fun discovery. I'm definitely going to be sticking with needle felting and just kind of working on my skills there while hopefully adding in some other new medium into my repertoire.
And looking forward beyond the art show that you have coming up, do you have anything planned where people can find you or see your work?
Not really. I've got the show coming up this summer. I'm working on a new website. Other than that, we're just kind of seeing where things lead us, you know, here in life and then also in the art world, which may be two separate directions. Who knows? Who knows at this point?
Can you talk about how you developed your name a little bit?
Yeah, I can. My business is called Good Natured Art, and I thought of, you know, brainstorming website names and all of that, and just thought Be Good Natured would be really fun. At the time when I was starting to develop the idea of selling my work and all of that, I had already been needle felting just a little bit as a hobby. When I was thinking of opening an Etsy shop and starting a website and all of that, I was reading Anna Karenina, and they used the phrase good-natured a lot in the book. And it just kind of stuck with me. And then playing on, you know, the whole conservation education and nature, and, you know, it just kind of felt right to mm-hmm. call it good-natured art. You know, I'm a happy person. I try to be. I hopefully come across as good-natured to others, and it just kind of fell into place that way. And Good Natured Art is my business, and then Be Good Natured, it's just kind of a fun little mantra.
It really is. Every time it crops up in my Instagram feed, it's almost like a reminder to me.
Right. Yeah. And I don't know, it's just a nice feel-good phrase that hopefully is a little uplifting.
When I first started following you, I didn't know about your conservation background, but it is a good reminder also that part of being good natured is to take care of nature. And yep. Your art not only reflects nature, but it comes from it, you know, using wool and linen and other things that are grown. So
it all fits.
Zero waste.
Zero waste. I don't know. I'm looking at my desk right now. There's tiny little bits of wool everywhere.
I don't Throw know them what outside and the birds will get them.
Exactly.
So where can people find you if they would like to commission a pet portrait or read more about your work or see more examples of it?
So I have my website, which is begoodnatured.com. On that site, there is a commissions page that kind of talks about the process for commissions and the different sizes and prices that I offer right now. To be informed about openings for commissions, I encourage people to sign up for my newsletter, which they can also do on begoodnatured.com. My newsletter is where I announce any openings that I may have, and I'm actually about to send one out soon, but they come at least once a month and sometimes twice a month, so not very often. So I don't clutter your inbox. And I post most of my work on my Instagram, and I'm begoodnatured over there. And I mean, anymore, my Instagram just kind of serves as my portfolio, and it's, you know, a great way for me to connect with everybody. So website, begoodnatured.com, and from there, you can also find a link to my shop, my Etsy store, which has lots of prints. I have some pins that I offer that are based on some of my original wool paintings, and there's a few original wool paintings in there as well.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time to share with us today. It was truly a pleasure having you on, and best of luck with the show, and hopefully your upcoming trip to Brazil.
No, I'm excited that you invited me and that I found a new podcast to listen to.
Oh, yay.
I'm always looking for podcasts because, you know, when I'm felting, I don't really like to watch anything because right. I can't. So listening is always great.
My pleasure.
So this is the part where I usually say words about stuff. And the stuff I'd like to talk to you about today is very similar to the stuff that we talked about last week. I want to give you a little bit of an update on my personal growth. There are things that I've been talking myself out of doing for some time now, applying to different festivals or asking different people to be on the podcast, because when I start thinking about it, my brain says, no, you're not that big, you're not that good, they're not going to let you in. I'm very self-deprecating. I'm also very proud of myself because in the last week I have made great strides in overcoming that. And, you know, it's day to day. I'm sure that in a couple of weeks I'll probably have a bad week where I talk myself out of everything. But this week I applied to two festivals that I had been talking myself out of for several years. And I invited some really awesome people to appear on the podcast, and they all said yes. So we have a great lineup for 2017. Things are well underway. I'm very excited, and I hope you are as well. This is a thing now, people. I'm back, and better than ever, I hope. One sad thing on the farm. Well, I don't know that it's sad yet, but potentially sad. I'm sorry, I'm being stared at right now by a tufted titmouse, and it's adorable. It's like I have little listeners to the podcasts in person for once. There's also a yellow-breasted warbler and a robin and some starlings and some kind of jay. I'm recording outside because it's actually quieter out here than the indoor setting that I was planning to use. So hopefully you get to listen to lots of happy birdies. Who among us does not love nature? Sorry, I'm super weird. But I'm also learning that that's okay. It's okay for me to be super weird because that's just who I am. What was I saying? Oh, we were doing some yard work or, you know, work on the farm. I was doing yard work and the menfolk were doing fencing. Always, never ending fencing. If you own a farm, that's like 70% of your life right there. It's not cuddling animals and sipping tea on a porch swing. No, no. It is not fishing in the pond. It's not riding horses across amber waves of grain, bareback. No, it's fencing constantly. So I was doing some yard work, raking up some leaves. I've decided that I want to put the area along the side of the emporium to really good use and plant it with vegetables and flowers instead of the moss and mud that's over there now. So to that end, I was raking up the dead leaves under the oak tree, and I was gonna pile them where I want my garden beds so they can decompose and create some really nice mulch. And there was a pile of bricks. So I started moving the bricks, and the more bricks I moved, the more bricks I found. Long story short, there's a foot and a half deep hole in front of part of the Emporium foundation now. The bricks were not mortared in. I don't know if they'd ever been used. And the foundation of the Emporium needs some repair. So I'm not sure now whether I should push more dirt against it, because obviously that was working well before. It's a dry stone foundation. It's got some chinks in it. You can't see like daylight through it, but you know, it's an issue that needs to be dealt with eventually. I'm not sure whether I should just push dirt against it and grow plants because they'll suck up a lot of the moisture, or if I should dig back along the whole side and put a vapor barrier down, or if we should find someone who does dry stone work to try and repair it. But those people are few and far between and very expensive. It is, as they say, a puzzlement. And disheartening, because I really wanted to use the basement as a root cellar this year, and now I don't know if that will happen. We definitely can't put power down there, not with moisture seeping through the wall. I have my festival schedule set. So other things happened in our nation this week as well, or in the past week since we last visited. All I have to say about that is, no matter what you think, or, you know, your personal opinions or your beliefs or your political leanings, it seems the majority of us are not too happy. And whether you're happy or not, that's okay. Your feelings are valid, as long as you express them in a way that's respectful to other people. And hopefully with the adult understanding that you can still be friends with people who have differing viewpoints. That's the one thing that's kind of really eating at me as I listen to people and look around. I had a very good friend last weekend who came in the room ranting about having to unfriend somebody because they posted that they were thrilled to death that Obama had left office. I said, so you can't be friends with them because they disagree with you? And she said, no, of course not. Everybody has to believe the way that I believe. And she said it with a smirk, but you know, there's that whole thing, there's truth in every joke. And I said, wow, that's a really Trump thing of you to say. And she just kind of giggled at me, but I hope she got the point, which is, you know, not everybody agrees, and that's what makes this country great. That's what makes the world great. We all need each other, and we all need different perspectives. So as long as we can focus on what is common and what is good, we can continue to move forward. But the second that you start to buy into that bigotry, even in defense of what you believe, you've kind of flipped sides. Don't do that. In my opinion, we've all been elected the next 4 years. It's a chance for us to show what kind of leadership we have. Because you are a leader. No matter what you do or where you go, someone is always watching you. What are you going to do with your leadership? What kind of example are you going to set? How will people know what you stand for? My personal plan is to make things beautiful. I'm going to continue to grow, and I'm going to continue to grow things for other people. I'm going to continue to make things that are beautiful and share them with other people, and share people who are beautiful with you. That's how I'm going to lead. But I'm willing to listen to other people. I can keep an open mind and keep an open heart and keep the thoughts and ideas that are important to me. And I hope that that's okay with you, because I enjoy being part of this diverse community, and hopefully I make it just a little bit better. Remember, you can be part of my community. You can read more about Danny, me, listen to past episodes, look at beautiful pictures of lambs, which are coming in March and April, and fiber. Read show notes, leave comments, and more at BallyhooFiberEmporium.com. You can find Ballyhoo Fiber Emporium at several festivals and doing several workshops on farm, which is, of course, listed on the website, or on Facebook at Facebook.com/BallyhooFiberEmporium. I have linked the Instagram account, Ballyhoo.Fiber.Emporium, to that Facebook account. And I'm thinking about merging, again, the Ballyhoo Farm with the Ballyhoo Fiber Emporium. Still interested in your thoughts on that. And thank you so much to everybody who left comments on last week's episode. I really appreciate the feedback and the support. I am always looking for fabulous people to showcase in the fiber industry, whether you are an artist or a producer. If you would like to advertise with us or appear on the podcast or have anything else to share, please don't hesitate to reach out on the Contact Us page of the website or through Facebook or Instagram. I look forward to sharing with you next week. I haven't decided which fabulous person we're going to showcase, but either one of the topics is going to be fantastic. So I can't wait, and I hope you can't either. Have a great week, and remember, spin everywhere.